You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Content warning. Nerd Bliss is intended for a mature audience.
Episode 148. You guys remember John Rasmussen, right? He was a guest contributor on our Mandalorian episodes that we did a while back. You know, host of the Black Market Toast podcast, creator of Solo Side Project. Well, this is his other main project that we are talking about today, and that is the band Revelator. John is the lead singer of that band, and our own Keith Lane is also the guitarist for that band. And not only are we going to hear about Revelator from John and Keith, we're going to roll in some of their music here so you can sample their work. Revelator is an independent band. They have a fresh and new sound, and believe me when I tell you that is very difficult to come by these days. So check them out. Revelator on this episode of Nerd Bliss.
Strike wing, standing by the launch.
Connect interlocks. Dials are connected.
Light the power! The actor attacks in power.
All stations.
Ready.
Nerd Bliss.
It's now online.
Mokneh and Jolan True, my nerd blisters. Welcome to episode 148. Just wanted to remind you real quick that in episode 146, that was our Mikey Makeson episode, you have a chance to win one of the Mikey Collection flash drives, and that includes his entire catalog plus a lot of special features and bonuses that you can't find anywhere else. It is an $80 value, and you have a chance to win it. Plus, along with that, there is a set of limited edition dice for Gen Con 2020. As a second prize, there'll be a second drawing for that. And you don't want to miss the opportunity to win those. So why don't you go listen to episode 146 for details. All right, straight to business. Revelator started out as an online collaborative project in 2011. And later on became an actual indie band headed up by John Rasmussen and our good friend Heath Lane, who is a co-host of this show. And I'm going to let them tell their story. Let's kick it in gear.
Course navigation locked. Engaging hyperdrive in 3, 2, 1.
Today we have a very special guest. This person has been a longtime listener and commenter on our show, and that is much appreciated. And he is here today, along with our friend Heath, representing for the band Revelator. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome John Rasmussen. I hope I said that right.
Yes, perfect. Glad to be here. I actually called in one time for your 100th episode or something. Yeah. But
I remember that.
Yeah. Long time listener, one time caller.
So he is John the Revelator?
No. That is a completely different band. That is and he plays a completely different genre. But those are actually two separate acts in the Greenville scene, Revelator and John the Revelator. And we are not John the Revelator, but I am John.
About to say, that's Revelator. A completely different culture, I would guess.
He's a one-man band. He plays guitar and drums and everything else all at the same time and does kind of a folky thing. And that's not us.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's...
For Jesus, I'm guessing.
I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know. I was steeped in gospel music when I lived at home, and I know that John the Revelator is a song. But wow, we chased a weird rabbit on that one. So
I didn't know there was a John the Revelator band in Greenville. I was referencing a song that I heard. It was one of the Blues Brothers movies. I don't know if it was Dan Aykroyd or not, but I know it was in one of those movies.
Okay.
And didn't Dylan do that one too? where he had a reference to it in one of his songs.
So, all kinds of people have references to
sounds
it.
Sounds like an item for the show notes.
Yeah.
We'll look it up later.
Chris right. has to go back and reference all songs that have ever mentioned John the Revelator and put those in the show notes.
I probably won't go that far, but so
there was actually a Depeche Mode song called it. Honestly, I think
that's the one I'm going with because I like Depeche Mode. All right, so yeah, Depeche Mode's John the Revelator.
And I think it's Down the Highway is the Dylan. Anyway, fuck it. I'm sorry.
Rabbit holes. Rabbit holes. Yes.
All right. So yes. A little history. How long has Revelator existed? Give us, I don't know, I guess the elevator pitch for Revelator. The elevator Revelator pitch?
Well,
the D elevator.
We have actually existed in one form or another for 10 years now. We officially formed January 1st, 2011 as a band that was an online band where we just kind of emailed the files around and made the music that way. In second half of 2017, we actually decided to put together a live band and actually bring some of the music out to the Greenville scene. I don't really know what genre to classify as because there are so many genres these days. But we kind of go with post grunge dad rock because, you know, most of us are dads and, you know, we draw a lot of influence from grunge, but what we do isn't grunge. So I don't really know what to call it. It's on the rockier alternative side and that it's part of the underground scene in Greenville.
You know, I was struggling with that myself. Like, what would I call this? As I was listening to your stuff, you know, to review, I'm thinking alternative 90s something.
There are we pull in grunge influences and there's funk influences and Heath brings in his AC/DC influence and it all kind of meshes together and makes something new and different and we like it, and we hope everybody else does too.
A musical Voltron.
There we go. We prefer the Planeteers, with, you know, by our powers combined.
Oh God, I'm a Power Ranger.
Yes, we'll get into your superhero personas at some point, but
how we stack up right. to make the robot. Yes.
So who does Revelator consist of currently?
Currently, it's myself on vocals, Heath on guitar, and then we have Will Smith, Will Smith, on bass, and Jared Berger is our drummer, and he is, Will was in the band Primary Pulse in Seattle prior to coming over to us. And Jared Berger has been on the Greenville scene for quite some time. He most recently was a member of Hugger Mugger and what, Signs of Iris or something like that, I believe was his big band before that.
I've heard of Hugger
Mugger. Yeah.
They were good.
Yes.
I had fun playing with them a couple years ago. I sat in on that emo night and with them and played a bunch of Fallout Boy songs and
I don't know if they're officially defunct or just kind of on a break. I haven't heard anything official out of them on that, but yeah, they're a good band and we've played with them a couple times.
All right, so as far as we've talked about the genre stuff, but as far as like the song content, like where do you draw your inspiration from for your various, and I've realized as I listened that you have, you know, a variety of different kinds of songs as far as what they're about, so tell us a little bit about that process.
I mean basically it's just, you know, I look around and kind of whatever's happening in the world and happening around me is what I pull in for the lyrics. you know, whether it be, you know, the history of some tabletop role-playing game that I've played in the past, or, you know, my guitar player going through a divorce has made it into, you know, a song, or, you know, a random, you know, archaeological dig site in the Middle East, you know, just random things make their way in. Tends to be a more political tilt to them in recent years, but that's kind of what's been in the world. So that kind of happens.
Question for you, Chris.
Yes.
So you've at least skimmed the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I mean, what jumps out at you and what doesn't? What is the stuff that makes Chris say, okay, I wouldn't mind. I'm this, call this market research.
Okay.
We don't know what genre we are. We don't know what songs are good. Let us know.
So what do you have any standouts and why?
Okay. Yeah. With the understanding that this is completely subjective, I vibe with a certain kind of energy. So of the songs that I listen to, my clear favorite above all of them is Rage.
Okay.
It's upbeat. It's dynamic. And it moves. Mm-hmm. And which is not to say that, you know, some of the down tempo songs aren't good for a variety. You know, Elton John said, you know, they say so much, the sad songs. But I would love to hear more songs like that. More songs like Great Ghost Dance was another one that I really liked.
And those are both off of our 2019 EP, and we really went in that direction with that EP. And we titled it Isolation is Inspiration in 2019. And in 2020, we figured out why.
Put that shit to the test.
Exactly. We really went kind of more upbeat and more driving with the sound on that EP. And even brought that forward onto our latest single, Make a Scene.
Yeah, another one that I enjoyed that I listened to. So is that a direction you think you're going, like, in general, or is this a one time thing, or?
It has been the direction we're going. Heath is more instrumental in putting together the musical direction than I am. I just kind of throw out.
So to answer your question, yes. If I have any fucking say in it, it's gonna take a leaning towards a little more.
And that is played well live, and we get really good feedback from the crowd with that direction.
I think my feeling was, and this is after having conferred with a few different. I trust more the ears of casual listeners and fans than I do other musicians or other, you know, it's because, I mean, as a musician, I know that I am incredibly judgmental about music, whereas a common, you know, listener or the ear of the person who's there for the enjoyment of something is going to be a lot less, they're going to scrutinize it for different reasons. Like, you guys are listening for, how do I put this? Like a hook or a melody or just a general feeling. And I noticed a lot of the bands that we were playing on certain bills with would be, it would range. I mean, some are kind of laid back and folky and sad and all that. And then others are incredibly high energy and aggressive, and I just noticed a difference. I mean, there are certain things that people appreciate about both, but to me, the only ones that could hold my attention for a long time or for most of the set or something tended to be the ones that did something a little truly different, not just a slightly different take on something, but something that really stood out and that had a certain amount of energy. So I decided that going forward, I wanted to be focused a little more on some sort of, whether it be again up tempo or just higher energy as far as a little bit more aggressive sounding, because I think one of the things that took to heart as far as criticisms has been is that generally when you do the lower key stuff, the more laid back stuff, especially when considering John's vocal range, it gets to the point where we have to watch out not to be monotonous and not to be like too laid back to where people are kind of like, oh, well, this is cool, but I think I'm gonna get a beer.
When the tempo dropped down, we tend to lose people, and then they'd come back when we brought the tempo back up and brought more energy.
So my feeling is that while I do appreciate, and I will always appreciate a certain amount of diversity, and I think you should always have one or two lesser or at least paced songs is what I'd like to refer to them as. I would like to, going forward, I feel sort of a need to amp it up a little bit. And that's the reason I've been tapping into things like my, I guess, like Chili Peppers or Rage Against the Machine style, just, you know, making noises and having a little more, being a little crazier with some things, just to try things that aren't maybe as predictable. And so that's where I'm kind of going with it, is not to be as predictable.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, more variety, something that the monotony thing can be an issue. You definitely need the different levels of energy, different. Yeah, I know exactly where you're going.
Yeah, and like on the latest EP, you know, we open up with Rage, which is really bass focused, and you really hear that bass, you know, being the star of the show. And then Great Ghost Dance, the drums are the star of the show. And then we jump into Crusaders, where Heath gets to shine on his stuff. And basically, by shifting the focus around the band, it breaks up some of that monotony.
What do you do as far as behind the scenes? Do you do much behind the scenes for Revelator? How would you describe your slice of that particular pie?
The best way I can explain it is, well, for in the early part, we were sort of the first couple of offerings. We kind of turned that over to, it was kind of bounced back and forth between a couple of us as far as throwing together what everybody threw in. Because what needs to be understood is that, that when this was originally put together, it was a very bizarre, very unconventional way of piecing it all together. Because what would happen is any random member would send some WAV file to everybody else, and then it's up to them to build on it. And so we would kind of, and again, this could be an a cappella vocal track, this could be a drum beat, this could be a bass line, this could be a guitar. Now, in the very first bit of it, it was nothing. The drums were always the last thing to go in, but it always went with one of the others first. And then I think the second time around or so, we actually got somebody in on drums who was more creative and competent, so they were able to add like actual, like, here, this is my contribution, and that was pretty good to be able to have that. But then it started after, I think, what, after that one, John, you may want to correct this, yeah. But after, I think after that second round is when everybody kind of dropped.
After the second record, where we were basically playing the old story game where you write a sentence and pass it on to the next person. After that second record, everybody else dropped out, and it was just me and Heath. And we made the Book of Fishheads double album, which is based on just a shit show biblical prequel that I wrote in high school. And we approached it with musical earnest, but just went completely, tongue in cheek on the lyrics, and just kind of made the record. And it is splendid in its strangeness. And it is out there. But we don't really go back and revisit it much. And then we went on to hashtag Murakana, which is our latest full length, which was just Heath and I as well. We started that one off by basically making acoustic versions of some of our of a few of our older songs, and then we built off of that. And in the middle of making that record, the 2016 election happened, and our basically entire viewpoint and direction kind of shifted in the middle of making that record. So it's kind of there's kind of a split approach to it, where, you know, we were making this acoustic, you know, feeling record, and this election happened, and then I actually sent Heath a message saying, I'm not sure I can do this record. Maybe we should do a punk record or something like that right now, because that's what I'm feeling. So that kind of pushed into hashtag Murakana a little more than it would have without that election happening. But some of those punk undertones and stuff like that is what we've kind of built on, and that's what we've gone with going forward into Isolation and Inspiration, and even Make a Scene and moving forward from here.
So back with the third entry on, it's pretty much been up until the EP, I believe, it's been, I've done all the instruments, and yes, then did all the kind of piecing everything together and bringing all the tracks together to mix and engineer those, and work on any rearrangements or anything that we needed to do, or if we had to redo something or whatever. But so it was just basically I threw it all in the pot and stirred it and got it all smelling nice, and then we just put it out. And then with the EP, it was like there was definitely a little bit more emphasis on collaboration and things. That whole process has evolved, because as he said, you know, one song started out as a bass riff that we just decided to, hey, let's build on that. And then it was like, okay, well, we need one that starts with drums. So it kind of being able to piece those together that way, but do so in a little bit more of a real time scenario, seemed to be a little bit more productive. And I think though, the combination of players we've got now, because we did, after we did the EP, the drummer left, he's my good friend Patrick, and he's the one that I play in, have played in the cover band with for a number of years now, and have played in other projects with. And good dude. He just was kind of feeling like, I mean, he had some stuff going on, so he kind of had to narrow his focuses a little bit, and had to bow out of that. So then Jared came on, and Jared's way is a little more like, is a little more in line with Williams too. So it works out for them, because they both would kind of prefer to be part of a, I guess the best way I can put it is that real time in person creativity, where it's more of a jam type situation. Let's build off of this and let's build off of that. So I think going forward, that's probably going to be the best way to do it is everybody just kind of scratch down some ideas they have and then just bring it and just dedicate a session or two here and there just to, okay, well, I have this idea. What can we do with it? And then somebody, you know, basically do kind of a live demo while we're doing it, so we don't forget it.
Yeah.
And then that's going to be how we're going to, I think we're going to have to start doing it, because it just seems to be, a little bit more, I think, again, productive. And I think everybody feels like this way, everybody would feel like they have a little more of a stake in it. And it probably would imbue a little bit more, passion or ownership of some things.
Yeah. And that's what we did with the latest single, Make a Scene. Basically, I threw out some vocals to the group, and Heath made a scratch track of what he was thinking with guitar, and we kind of all listened to that and came together and we pounded it out in basically one practice and figured out what we were doing on it.
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Geek here with a shout out to all the scientists who worked tirelessly to bring a COVID-19 vaccine into reality. Let's face it, creating something of this magnitude is a miracle worthy of Dr. McCoy himself. And now, Dr. Geek needs you to do your part. Remember, each shot is one small step back to normal, one giant leap to putting the pandemic behind us. We can do this. For more information, visit vaccines.gov to find your nearest provider.
Time to grab your pillow and join the Geek Father in Little Bit for discussions on current, nostalgic, and speculative happenings in pop culture. Nerd news, fandom histories, deep dive discussions, reviews, and more. It's like listening to your closest friends have a nerdy conversation. So sit back, relax, and let the Blurred Nerds podcast embrace you with their warm, goofy goodness. It's Nerd Goals for your ear holes, right here on the ESO Network.
Hello there. I can see you have great taste in podcasts. Keep your discerning streak going with the Soul Forge podcast. No topic is off limits on the Soul Forge. We talk about life, toys, dating, geekiness, love, nerdiness, sex and dating, TV, movies, and just about anything you can think of. Check out the Soul Forge podcast, soulforgepodcast.com, and wherever you find your podcasts. We're everywhere.
All right. Do we want to talk about the Rise Guys thing, or is that something we're not talking about?
I mean, we can talk about it. First, you need
to do a little history about the Rise Guys. The Rise Guys being a local terrestrial radio show.
They're morning radio show on the local rock station. They do their music reviews where they'll play a song, well, about a minute of a song by a local band, and then and do their little review on it. And we were on there one time for the song Crusaders, and we made it through. And
so, you know, if I recall correctly, okay, it was that kind of America's Got Talent format where they buzz, and if you get too many buzzes, they go and cut it and start discussing.
Right. And if they cut it, then the band doesn't actually get to talk to them. But if you make it through without X number of buzzes, then you get to do the band interview afterwards. And did the band interview. And it was the same day that that the lead single off the new Pearl Jam came out. And, you know, they were, you know, discussing, and somebody was saying random negative thing because, you know, they're a morning radio show, they have to say something negative. And yeah, and so one of them threw out, well, it was better than Pearl Jam, and that became our quote on our Instagram for like a week. just that part. Well, it's better than Pearl Jam.
Definitely put that one on your Bandcamp page. Yeah, that quote. Yeah.
Yes. That's our quote. Yeah, the Rise Guys, you know, morning show, it's better than Pearl Jam. There you go. And that is a direct quote, and we can use that forever.
Something that is of personal interest to me. I have a friend who is middle-aged, and he is learning to play bass. And a friend.
Yes.
And this friend is hoping not necessarily to make it big in any particular way, even in a local scene, but would just like to have a band that maybe performs at conventions or, you know, opens for folks. Mm-hmm. And never been in a band before. So besides knowing how to play the instrument,
which is a huge plus. Yes,
if you can play your instrument, definitely.
Not required, but definitely.
Not required at all. You can just buy a bunch of microphones and you can be in a band.
I mean, you can look at any random punk band, and there's at least one member of the band who honestly cannot play their instrument.
REM's quote was, you know, once they got competent with their instruments, they swapped.
Yeah.
So they, you know, it squelched their creativity to know what the hell they were doing.
So my friend is set for success at this point.
Yes. Well, let me put this out there to your friend. Okay. At the age of 35, all I could do was sing some karaoke. I sent out an email to three
allegedly.
I could sing karaoke in Japan. So I sent out an email to three of my friends who I knew could play. You know, one was a bass player, one was a drummer, one was a guitar player. 10 years later, this is the band. I mean, just put yourself out there. Ask some of your friends if they want to do something with you. I was surprised when they all said yes. And, you know, we're still making music under that project.
I think I actually said, okay, why the hell not?
Yes.
That's the actual quote.
Yeah, that was as positive as I was going to get out of Heath. So I took that as an emphatic yes.
Well, and Heath is only in like 12 other bands. So like, what else is he doing?
Not for much longer.
Yeah.
Well, at the time, I think, I had a few other things going on, and then I've kind of gradually whittled all that down, and I think we've had that discussion a little bit that, it's especially with COVID, I think COVID really put a few things in perspective, because like I was telling, I think I've told all parties present here, there have been, when I first started out back in, you know, mid 90s to late 90s when I really started, like, because I mean I was officially quote unquote gigging. I mean, I played my first professional gig at 16 in Clemson, and that was cool. And back then it was like, okay, yeah, you had to learn 4 hours of covers because you're playing for the sports bar. Okay, that's no big deal. It doesn't matter that I just started playing bass last week. Yeah, I'll figure it out. And I did. And then fast forward a couple of years and I started doing my own thing. And then it was like, yeah. And again, this is going to rub some people the wrong way. I don't have a problem rubbing people the wrong way. As you guys know, but thank you for having me back.
Yeah. Anyhow, I would not think that of you, Heath. Not ever.
Well, because you're not an insufferable douche. Thank you, Chris. But no, but back then, for me, doing the all cover stuff was either a gimmick or it was where people who had no creative ability whatsoever went to die. And so fast forward again a little bit further, and then I'm like, okay, this is, and when I say a little further, I mean, you know, 10 years, 15 years down the road, it's like, okay, there's some money to be had in it. I mean, it's quick money. It's easy money. I mean, it's ridiculously easy money. Like so much to where it makes me like puke a little bit on the inside when I hear people say how hard it is, because it's really honestly the easiest fucking thing you could do besides karaoke. It's definitely
which pays very, very little.
Exactly.
In fact, you have to pay to do it sometimes.
Yep. Exactly. So it's basically reverse karaoke. So anyway, so I'm like, so I do it and I say, okay, cool. I like the extra income or whatever. And then it gets monotonous. And then you end up switching to a different group, but you realize that they're all the freaking same. They're doing 80% of the same songs. It's just blah, blah, blah. And you get to the point where you all of a sudden it's like, I got to thinking last year. Well, it was a little bit before last year. I think it was probably towards the end of 2019. It's like, you know, I feel like I'm just kind of grinding through it, and you die a little bit every time you do it. And don't get me wrong, there are some gigs you have fun. Like my last gig I played a few weeks ago, I had a blast, but it just so happened that was one of the very rare instances where you had a packed house full of enthusiastic people who acted like they give a shit. But again, the other 100 shows you play, you're lucky if you have one or two more of those shows. And then the rest of them are kind of like your background music and people don't care. So it's a little soul draining. So after, I think at the end of 2019, I got to thinking, I was going through a lot of other shit anyway. And it's just like, oh my God, this is like, it's like, I'm not even, it's like, I don't even feel rewarded anymore. It's like, it gets to a point where, I mean, even then it was already sort of like the frequency of playing was starting to wind down. And it's like, okay, so now it goes from having that few extra bucks a month to, okay, I have maybe enough to take, you know, my family out to dinner, and but then the rest is going to pay for the rehearsal space rental. And then fast forward again to, you know, this time last year, and you start realizing that, holy crap, I have not played a gig in I don't know how long. And honestly, there's a part of me that missed having my weekends. So it's like, you know, there's a part of me that's like, okay, now I can do my errands or, you know, do something a little more soul rewarding on the weekend where I'm not always obligated to do this. And you don't miss, because the money was already, it had already gone from extra money to second job to chore. And so now it's kind of like, okay, what do I do? So yeah, I had this sort of artistic or existential thing going on where I was like, I'm not really getting anything rewarding. I mean, I honestly had a point last year where I didn't really want to play. I mean, I was just kind of like, whatever, you know, I got my guitars, I got whatever laying around, and I just didn't really do a lot. I just didn't want to. And it just hit me that, well, I don't want to do that necessarily in the same capacity anymore. So even though I've played a handful of shows since then, it's right now the booking's wide open and I don't really have a whole lot going on. And then it just hit me that I'm kind of like, I feel like in a way, and I know I'm kind of having a catharsis as we speak here, but it's like, I feel like, you know, I had a huge chunk of time there where I was sort of lost, and I wasted a little bit of time that I probably should have been spending doing something different. And and this goes back to 2008. And, so it's a good chunk of time to feel like you've pissed it away a little bit. So, that's one of the things that I try to suggest to anybody is do what you really feel like you need to do, and don't get, sidetracked by the instant gratification of, a pocket full of money or whatever, because you want to be able to do something that makes you happy inside. And, that's kind of where I got to a certain point where about this time last year, I started saying, you know what, screw it. I'm going to make myself be creative again. And I know that's not the way you're supposed to do it, but I was able to sort of jumpstart, I guess, defibrillate my, mojo a little bit. And I'm to the point now where I'm recording scratch ideas on my phone again, and I'm making myself, I mean, you see right here, I'm making myself have a guitar in my hand, if nothing else, just to have my fingers on something so that I'm ready to go. So a lot of my spare time, it's either sitting next to me or in my lap, you know, when I'm doing other shit. So I've become, and that's kind of when I started working on different formats, because this other project I started up is a power duo, and it's very, you just have to see it to see how I pull this crazy, insane shit off. But anyway, I've just been getting a lot more creative with my palette, and that means, embracing some simple good things that I really have always relied on. Good straight guitar to amp tones, but then at the same time, hey, what does this effect pedal do? Or what is, you know, and I was like, I've been a lot more experimental too. So I think that's the biggest thing, Chris, is I say wasting time doing something that doesn't reward you kills you a little bit. So whatever you do, whatever you want to do, decide what the hell you want to do and try to persevere.
And honestly, right now is probably a good time to try to get something going, because a lot of bands fell apart over the last 18 months of just sitting around not doing anything. And, you know, we're kind of coming out of hibernation, and you know, we've had a practice together, and we're getting going, but we haven't had a gig yet. But, you know, our first gig's going to be at the beginning of September. Can't announce what it is yet, but that's when it's going to be. And you know, we're going to be getting back out there, and a lot of bands are either reforming or bringing in new members, or, you know, whatever. And basically, you know, music scenes across the country are having to piece themselves back together wholesale in the aftermath of not playing for over a year. So it's kind of this weird place in time that we've never really found ourselves in before for local music.
Thank you.
All right. Well, do you have, so where can folks find Revelator on the big web space?
I need to update the website. It's revelator.rocks is the website. We are on the Facebooks and the Instagrams and
working on the OnlyFans.
and we got Heath working on an OnlyFans, apparently. We're on Bandcamp. You can find us on any of the streaming services. It's out there if you want to hear
any other albums, projects coming up that you can talk about yet? Or
we basically haven't done anything in 18 months. We got the we managed to put the single together remotely, and that was kind of fighting through it because, you know, we're kind of like Heath was saying, we're kind of feeling more of the get together and do everything kind of mentality.
We're warming up the engine again.
Able to do that. Yeah. We're warming up the engine. We're getting going. We don't know what's coming next quite yet. But we are moving forward.
All right. Well, that is all I have. Unless Tina, Eric, did you have any questions that you wanted to get in there?
I don't think so. Yeah.
So we've.
Do I get to talk about Loki and the Bad Batch now?
We certainly can.
You can't talk about those latest episodes though, because I haven't seen those latest episodes. I can't watch those till my son comes home on Sunday.
Okay, so we can't talk about anything then.
Yeah, never mind. I won't see Black Widow till tonight either. So I can't.
I'm holding off on Black Widow.
I
happen to live in a household where somebody has insisted they're paying for it so that it can be watched.
Okay.
Immediately. Yeah. So
I've been going back and forth on whether or not I'm going to pay $30 to watch it. You know,
we will probably burn one of our Regal Unlimited. Tickets for those.
Well, there's nothing to burn.
Well, like they burn a little bit off of me every month. So, yeah.
The popcorn burns.
But when Bad Batch wraps, which we're pretty close, I have to imagine, and Loki as well. You know,
I believe it's 5 more episodes. I believe they go into 16.
Yeah, yeah. And we got one more episode of Loki after.
Yes. The final episode of Loki will have already aired by the time this airs.
Yeah, I have theories about that.
Wednesday.
I will keep them to myself for now. But I was going to say, John, you're welcome to come back to discuss those with us. So,
okay.
Thank you for joining us, Midgardians.
Coming down from on high to join you. Yes.
That was an inside joke.
Hey, Chris, do we still do the guest questions or have we phased those out?
We could. So, yeah, we did you, the guest
you
questions.
You brought them for, back for Mikey Mason, for Mikey Mason. So that could be, that can be back in the rotation. That would be fine.
All right. Guest questions. Of course, there are no wrong answers. Some questions have correct answers. You know the drill.
Okay.
All right. So if you owned a billboard, what would you put on it?
Revelator.
No.
We didn't see that one coming, did we?
Better than the classic. My dick. Go ahead.
I mean, I guess I could press and say besides that, but you know what? We'll go with that because this is Revelator's moment.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Well, we've covered this one. Just off the top of your head, who inspires you?
Just this local music scene. Just watching. Yeah. I'll refer to them as kids because they're all kids. They're all 25, you know, 30 and under 25-year-olds. These kids who are just putting themselves out there and making these new things and creative sounds and bringing in musical saws and doing their thing in their dorm room or wherever they're recording and just making new music and putting their voice out there and it just making fabulous stuff. And you know, every city in this country and around the world at this point has a music scene just like it. And that's pretty amazing. Well,
hopefully a near 50 guy will contribute to some of this new music here pretty soon, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. So you are to give a book as a gift. What book is it?
It's probably going to be Dharma Punks, which is it's a Buddhist teachings from the point of view of a former punk who has overcome substance abuse and stuff like that, and just kind of come out on the other side and kind of has a more Zen understanding of the world and everything, but maintains that punk point of view at the same time. It's kind of a refreshing look at both sides of that coin.
All right. So have you tried turning it off and back on again?
Of course.
All right. Good first step. All right. Now here comes the big one. I think I've already know your answer to this one, but, and I'm pretty sure it's wrong. Donut, muffin, or bagel?
I am the underground leader of Team Bagel. I am the one that has been, you know, forming against you in behind the scenes on the bagel side.
The correct answer is donut. Well,
it's a sort of donut.
Yeah,
it's a savory donut
without the sugar. Yeah,
it's a savory donut.
And there really are no losers in this war. So,
except, well, maybe Team Muffin. Yeah.
I mean, really, once we have stale bagels, no one else can win because we have artillery.
I don't know. Muffins can get pretty.
I was going to say,
now, yeah, hey, but they're not as dense.
I don't know. It depends on if it's a brand muffin. Now,
hey, there you go.
Have you guys? Has anybody else eaten at Duck Donuts yet?
Not yet. Is that the one over by Birchfly South?
It's the one next to Five Guys on Pelham, right there near the Walmart. And I don't really have, mm-hmm. I don't get out that way much, but I've gone to Duck Donuts a couple times, got some custom made. It's kind of like a Moe's for donuts. So like you literally go in there and you pick your whatever, if you want one of their pre-put together, like a maple bacon or something of that nature, which is fucking awesome, by the way. Or you can go in there and kind of piece together your own, and you can actually watch them like flip the things over in the sauces and say, it's just, yeah, it's expensive. Don't get me wrong. It's a price. It's a cake donut, which, you know, I mean, being a Krispy Kreme lover, you know, I haven't met many donuts. Because it's still one of my favorite things is the maple bar from QT. I mean, that thing is just awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the simple pleasures.
Duck Donuts, again, it's expensive, but it's an experience, and it's pretty, pretty damn tasty.
I was just going to add, life is short, buy the damn donuts. Or the bagels, if that's what you prefer. I don't know why. All right, so... another big one. What does God need with a starship?
If God needs a starship, he was not an omnipotent God to begin with.
Okay. that's as good an answer as any we've had. So, all right. So we've got two left. Let's see. What have we got? Is there any way we can repel firepower of that magnitude?
Construct more pylons.
All right.
I would have answered it. Sound like a trap to me.
did we do Marvel or DC?
we chucked that one because it was so one-sided. and so finally, go ahead, Eric.
No, I was just thinking maybe Shazam will pull that out, but that's another discussion.
We might resurrect it.
They are making a second Shazam movie, so it may work itself out.
DC is starting to crawl out of the muck. They're still making stupid decisions, but they're making some progress. All right, so last question, and this is the one that makes everybody feel old. What was the first movie you saw in the theater?
Okay, and I remember this one vividly. It was The Empire Strikes Back, and we were late. So we walked into the theater as the AT-ATs were coming across Hoth. And that was my first movie theater experience, was seeing the AT-ATs walking across Hoth firing on the Rebel base.
They were coming at you on the big screen as you were walking in. Wow, I can picture that. I wish one of the Star Wars movies was my first movie. I do. It's a much, much better story to tell than the Apple Dumpling Gang, let me tell you. But hey, we got Don Knotts and Tim Conway, so there you go.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, it definitely has its draw, yes.
All right. Well, you have survived the Nerd Bliss questions.
The Nerd Bliss call.
Yeah, we will. Congratulations on that. I guess.
No one else has ever survived. Yes.
All right. Any parting shots? Anybody?
Turn your purple light on. Turn your light on.
Sounds good to me.
And a mystery player has entered the game.
A small Rasmussen has said to turn my purple light on, but we don't need that.
Nerd Bliss has arrived at the forest moon of Endor. Be sure to visit the Ewok village and try the Imperial Buffet. Disengaging hyperdrive. Begin disembarkation protocol.
And that is it for episode 148 of Nerd Bliss. I hope you enjoyed listening to and learning about Revelator. We're going to have links to all their stuff in the show notes. Please be sure to go check them out and show them some love. I want to take a moment to remind you all again about the drawing that we had mentioned in episode 146. That was our episode with Mikey Mason. And in that episode, there is a chance for you to win one of the Mikey Collection flash drives. This is a flash drive that contains Mikey's entire catalog, plus a lot of extras and special things in there that you can't get anywhere else. So you definitely want to try and win that. It is an $80 value. Go listen to episode 146 for details. All music used in this recording was used with the appropriate licensing and or permissions. Our theme song is a modified version of Hyperdrive by Jens Kilstofta and is licensed to us for use by Machinima Sound. And folks, don't forget that if you have feedback on this or any other episode, you can contact us in a variety of ways. We have the call-in line, which is area code 864-715-9446. Give us a call, leave us a message. You can also text that number if that is your preference. Depending on the content of your message, we may play or read your message on the show. You can also send us an email to nerdblisspod@gmail.com. Be sure to check us out on all the socials. We are operating under the handle @nerdblisspod. Thank you, one and all, for listening to Nerd Bliss. Nerd Bliss is a part of the ESO Network and a product of 4 Foot One Media.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.